Ooh. Oh, hey, how are you? Nice running into you. I'm still in awestruck wonder, amen. Wow. Ay, ay, ay. Well, while the kiddos are taking off, if you would turn in your Bibles, we're still in Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and we're still in chapter 1. And we're going to be, again, reading in verses 15 through 19. And as you're turning there, just I'll kind of give you, again, the context and of where we're at. We know that the book of Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison in Rome, if you remember. And the prison, as he was in prison there, he was able to receive friends and folks to minister to him. And you know Paul. We know Paul. We went through the book of Acts for 4 years. You should know Paul. That he was, he continued to preach and disciple. And in the midst of this, though, while he was there, Pastor Epaphras came from the church at Colossae, and he came and kind of gave a report to the Apostle Paul. And a lot of the stuff that he said about the church there, they were good. Things were progressing. The gospel was being preached. Discipleship was happening. But like in all instances throughout all churchdom, there's always infiltrators that want to get into the church and just add to the gospel or take away from the gospel. We know that in Colossians there, the church there, it was kind of proto-Gnosticism. This Gnosticism hadn't been completely articulated yet, but Gnosticism would say that everything spiritual, immaterial is good, everything material is bad. And so that there was this was also directed at Christ, right? Because we know Christ was born and he became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, so they would say, Jesus, he could not have been, he could not have been God, and he could not have been man, as the Bible says, because he ought to be, if he was a man, he had to be some kind of phantom, because if he took on flesh, he would be evil. So Gnosticism, the heretics, were always trying to downplay Jesus, that he wasn't 100% man and that he wasn't 100% God. Remember last week, Jesus had to be both of those, or we are men to be most pitied. We have no salvation because we've sinned against the eternal God, and we have no representation as the man, Christ Jesus. He had to be our substitute. They also were saying some things like, Jesus is okay, plus. Obey the law, circumcision, do all of these stuff. And yes, Jesus, you need Jesus, but all these other things. So that was what's going on in the church of Colossae, but it's the same thing today, right? I believe that Mount Zion Baptist Church, I believe if Epaphras was here, he would go and tell Paul that, hey, things are going pretty good at Mount Zion, man. We have discipleship going on, and the preacher's a little loud. He's a little arrogant, and he's not so good, but the people there are really good, and they listen to the Word. They're hungry for the Word, but there's always, no one laughed at that joke. That means you agree with it. Anyway, there's always something trying to get in and mess with the gospel, right? You realize that many churches, if I would not even say most churches today, they may mention Jesus Christ. They may talk a little bit about him, but they're not going to say much about him. They're all about doing good things and all that, but they're just not going to focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ. They're not going to say that, hey, Jesus is it. Jesus plus nothing. And that without Christ, you are helpless and hopeless throughout all eternity. That you must repent and believe Christ or you're forever going to be separated. That's mean preaching. And so they're just going to say, boy, you look good today. I'm so glad that you're in church today. And I want to give you a positive message today. By the way, it is positive. It is good. But they're not going to focus on Jesus. They're going to say, like, hey, you can really have a good life if you do A, B, C, and D. And by the way, if you really like this encouraging message, there's going to be an offering at the end of the message. And we want you to give a lot because the pastor needs a new plane to fly around in. That's another joke that didn't go over well. And so there's always going to be, today we have things like, just things that are infiltrating the church, critical race theory and intersectionality. Just want to come in there and just kind of, yeah, Jesus is fine, but hey, let me add this in here. Jesus is great, but you need a little social justice as well. Just do a lot of good things and just leave Jesus out of it. Social justice used to be a good term, Christian term, but now it's not. We have to redefine it. It's not social justice, it's gospel justice. In other words, we want to do wonderful things. We have a food pantry. We have all kinds of ministries that we do, and they're right and good, and they help people physically and financially and all kinds of things. But we always, always, always do it in the context of the gospel. We're not going to give you a can of beans without telling you about Jesus Christ. We're just not, because as much as you need those things, and you might need those things, you need the gospel all the more. And so that's what's going on in the church at Colossae. And so what Paul is doing in these initial verses here, in verses 15 through 19, he's focusing on who Christ is as revealed in the Word of God. Did you notice what we sang about this morning? Who did we sing about? Everything was focused on Christ. If you look at our purpose of Mount Zion Baptist Church, our purpose is to glorify Christ. Our vision is Christ. Our mission is to make disciples of Christ. Our goal is to tell all the world about Jesus Christ until He comes back. That's what we're about. And so that's what we're seeing. Paul, he's focusing in on and revealing who the Christ is of Scripture. And so we're going to see four or five different things. We've already seen one of those, and we're going to look at the second one this morning. So with that long introduction, would you stand? And we'll read these verses, and then we'll pray and we'll get into our text this morning. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15, He, talking about Jesus Christ here, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent first. For in Him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That is just so packed. Father, thank you for the Word of God. We believe it, that it's true. We believe that that's inspired. We believe that it's eternal. We believe that it's applicable for today as we see in these verses. And so, Lord, I pray with all that's going on in the church about asking questions about who Jesus is, I pray that we would see from Scripture that you tell us who you are. And I pray that we would believe it. And the question that we have for this morning is, do you believe Jesus is who He says He is? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I pray, Father, as I have been challenged by this, that you would challenge us as well. We sang the song in that, are we in awe when we hear about Jesus? Are we awestruck? Or is Jesus just become a cliche? God forbid. God forbid. I've, and I hope others have. We've already experienced your presence here this morning. And man, I pray that no one leaves without experiencing your presence and realizing who you are, not who we think you are or who we want you to be for us. We don't need to create our own little gods. We need to be awestruck at the God and your Son, the God-man Jesus Christ. And so I pray for the message this morning. I pray that heads, hearts would be open to the Word. Help us to lean in and God accomplish that which you would have. Save and sanctify, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we looked at verse 15 about who Jesus was, and he is the image of the invisible God. We said Jesus is exactly God in all ways, in all attributes. He is God that came, the God-man in the flesh. Jesus is the God-man. What we didn't get to, we spent the whole message on that last week. But we didn't get to the last part of verse 15. He's also the firstborn of all creation. Now, a lot of people get kind of mixed up with that firstborn of all creation. They say, well, if he's firstborn, there had to be a time when Jesus Christ wasn't. They would say Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. And so, with that, they would interpret that wrongly and said, there was a time throughout eternity past when Jesus wasn't, and that he became. He was the firstborn of all creation. The best that God created, but there was a time when he was not. That's not what that's saying. That's heretical. That's bad. There's never a time when Jesus was not. As a matter of fact, we sang the song about that before the service here as we sang about who he was and who he is and who he will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, it says, and I love this, and again, this firstborn has to do more with position than it has to do with chronology. It has to do with who Jesus is. He was the one, as we're in Sunday school, we're studying the book of Revelation. And in chapter 5, when John was transported to glory, whether physically or in the spirit, and there he was at the throne room of God, and what a spectacle that must have been. And he saw God the Father and then the Son, and there was a scroll. There was a scroll that had seven seals, and they began to sing, who is worthy to take the scroll? And they looked all over creation, above heaven and beyond heaven, and there was nobody there that was worthy to take the scroll, which I believe, there's different versions or different beliefs, I believe is the title deed of this whole creation. Who is worthy to take it? And there was only one, and he was the Lamb of God. He was the Christ man who was worthy to take the title deed, not only of all creation, but you and I were bought with a price as well. Amen. He holds the title deed of your salvation. Oh, it's good. That's good. So it's a position. In fact, in John chapter 8:58, Jesus says this, before Abraham was, I am. Can you imagine as he's speaking to a bunch of religious Jews, when he said that, what could you imagine? I like to see their faces as they're, we believe in one true God. They didn't understand the Trinity there. God is one in three. God is one, and yet He's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, God who became man, says, I am before Abraham. Could you imagine what they thought of? They wanted to kill Him for it because Jesus was telling them He's God. God in the flesh. And so He is the firstborn. It has to do with position. It has to do with rank. It has to do with right and authority and primacy. The firstborn is the one who has the right of all the inheritance. Side note. Oh, a lot of side notes. Sometimes those are the best notes. What He inherits, we preached about this a while ago, we get too. All that is His is ours as children of God. Come, Lord Jesus. So the Colossians would understand exactly what Paul was talking about when he said the firstborn of all creation. Position, authority. But now we're going to go on to the second part here of who is Jesus and in relationship, not just to God that we looked at, but Jesus in relation to the universe, in relation to the whole wide world. He's got the, you remember that song? He's got the, woo, I had something that worked. He's got you and me, brother. Yeah, that's good. Okay, that's enough singing. Where's Catherine at? Kiker. Is she here? Elizabeth Kiker. Is she here? She had to leave. I don't remember. It was coming into the food pantry. Ms. Dolores, where are you at, Ms. Dolores? You need to get a handle of those servants up there at the food pantry. I walked in the food pantry. This has nothing to do with the message. But I walked in singing, and she says, oh, please don't sing. So it's a good thing she left this morning. I'd have called her out, have her get repent right here in front of everybody. I don't know why I sing like I have an angelic voice. You know, how many like Jessica when she the Revelation song when she screams? Oh, I wish I could scream like that. You know, but when I do it, it kind of breaks up. And that's why Elizabeth said, please don't sing, I would imagine. But we want to look at just one more thing. The second thing, Jesus in relation to the world. Verse 16, it says, for by Him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. If you haven't got it yet, all things were created through Him and for Him. So that's a packed verse that's saying that He owns it all. He owns it all. And it's because, first of all, three things we're going to look at this morning. It's all His because He created it. We saw that with the firstborn. He was there when it was all created. Jesus Christ was a part of that. He created everything that you see here, He created. Created the whole world. John also affirms that. If we don't get it in Colossians here, he says in John 1:3, he says, all things were made through Him, Jesus, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Just in case you didn't get it, he tells us that. And matter of fact, he says it again, over and over again, but the verse that kind of grabbed a hold of me and kind of shook me a little bit was in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, which brought on the song. He's got the whole world. Now you're going to be singing that, I hope, all week long. He says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, through whom also He created the worlds. We're so sometimes earthbound that we don't recognize that Jesus created everything. I can't. This what blows my mind is Creator God of the universe, Jesus Christ. The Bible says left the glories and was, as Joseph reminded me. We got to remember Christmas because that's when Jesus was born, right? And he's a very theological young man. And it's hard to believe that Jesus, the Creator God of the world, as Hebrews 1:2 says, would subject himself to be a little bitty baby and at the mercy of mankind. Now, I don't know, but Cody and Amber just had a little Anna Jane. And you look at that cute little baby, that pudgy cheeks. I mean, isn't it awesome? I mean, we're going to have Simeon's going to be here before you know it. We need to pray for Noble. He's got flu-like symptoms. He's not here. That patients don't get it, and Simeon does it. But Simeon's going to be here in just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks. And we have Holly. My daughter's going to have little John Jr. here coming pretty soon. And to see this baby, to see the baby Jesus so impotent and powerless, and yet that baby spoke it all into existence. It's just, when you think about it, we're going to get some science here, okay? When you think about the size of the universe, right? We don't even think about the universe. Well, he didn't just make, if you think about the earth, we're like a speck. By the way, how many of you think, no, don't raise your hand. How many of you think there's life forms in other places? And there may be, I don't know. One, right there, Silas. But you think about it, I don't think there is. I don't see it in Scripture, for one thing. But, you know, there may be something more. But you think about this little speck of the earth, that's nothing, and yet everything's focused here. Jesus didn't go to some other place. He came to this insignificant earth. Why? Why? Because he not only created the world, but he created us in his image. Here on earth, and he's came into, his mission was, because we messed it up, to seek and save that which is lost. So this earth and all of this universe, and yet he did all the other stuff too. Staggering. When you think about, the sun has a diameter of 864,000 miles. 100 times bigger than the earth. They tell us, listen, this is the authority, this is the power of Jesus. They say that 1.3 million Earths can fit into the sun. 1.3 million. The nearest star, they say, is 200 billion miles away. The North Star, we use that for navigation, still 400 billion miles away. And then you have this incredible star called Betelgeuse. How many of you heard that in school? Right? Yeah. Silas, again, is the only one. Well, Betelgeuse is the second brightest star in the Orion, whatever it's called. It's the Orion Belt, thank you. And it's like the 10th brightest star that we know about it. I mean, this wonderful Betelgeuse, we know it's 100 million miles in diameter. That's bigger. Betelgeuse is bigger than the whole orbit of the Earth. You know how I'm blowing some of you guys away, right? You know how the Earth revolves around the sun? They say Betelgeuse is as big as that. Folks, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of material. And remember, we can create things, but we have to have something to create it with. And God, Jesus, our verse tells us he created it all ex nihilo, without anything. That little baby with the power of his word spoke Betelgeuse into existence. We know that light travels 160,000 miles per second. And they say it takes an average of 8.5 minutes for the light to get from the sun to the earth. Some of you guys are laughing because I probably got some of this stuff wrong. Right? Because you guys know better than me. Yet, the same light, it says, takes 4 years to get to the nearest star, which is, I hear, Alpha Centauri. I thought that was a video game. Atari. It's not. That they say Alpha Centauri, about 24 trillion miles from the Earth. Our galaxy contains our galaxy, you know what I'm talking about. Our galaxy, just right here, this small little galaxy contains hundreds of billions of stars. And astronomers estimate that there are millions, if not billions, of galaxies. Now, you guys are sitting there like, so what? Well, you know why it matters? To me? Yeah, but hey, some people say, well, Jesus, he doesn't have the power. I mean, I really don't believe the miracles in the Bible. Come on, pastor, you can't tell me that Jesus turned the water into wine. I mean, you can't tell me that. Come on, Jesus healed the blind man from birth, a lame man from birth. I can't believe those miracles. Could you just stop and look up? If Jesus Christ created all of the universe, everything in the world, as Hebrews 1:2 says, and we have no idea of what's past those billions and billions of galaxies. I believe that same Jesus has the power and the authority today to do great and mighty things. I think he can even bring revival to America. Some of you, unfortunately, you're hoping that Trump is going to do something. Can I tell you something? He's a great businessman, but he's a blowhard. And you guys are putting more faith in Trump than you are Jesus Christ, who spoke the universe into existence. Man, our dependence and our cry is not for Republican or Democrat or Joe or Pelosi. Hopefully you're not dependent on them anymore. But the one who created the world, that God can, listen, as wonderful and great as creating galaxies, you know what even a greater miracle and wonder is? If you're sitting here today, lost without Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you're doomed for eternity, separated from this God who has authority over everything. And he so loved you that he did that. He left the glories and he came to seek and to save you that's sitting here today that's lost. And you know what a greater miracle than every material thing that he created? Because he made you special in the image he created you. He breathed life into you, that you, above anything else that he created, can have a relationship, as we sang, to a holy, holy, holy God. You're not holy. And yet the greater miracle that could ever happen today is you sitting here without Christ to realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, to bow down to the authority of this great God and King and say, oh, I need Jesus. Save me. You know what he does? He takes your heart of stone and he does a greater miracle than creating all these galaxies. He gives you a new heart of flesh. You become his child. Child of God who did all of these things. He wants you to inherit everything that he already owns. And he is coming again. And he is going to establish this earth. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, just verse 1, because too many rabbit trails. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. You know, it's so glorious, his creation. We're going to go here because I'm the pastor and I can do this. Go to Romans, if you will. Listen, God has, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that he has placed eternity in your heart. In doing that, you cannot help but to go out and look at creation or in your science class or whatever, and realize that he's done all of this without recognizing that it's by design, that it's not a blowing up Big Bang theory. It shouts the glory of God. And the only way that you can deny that is for you to willfully push it down. Push the truth that you know is true in your heart. He's creating you that way. The only way that you can do that is say, I don't want to look, and I'm going to take this truth and I'm going to push it down. And Paul tells us about that in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read these verses beginning in 19. For what can be known about God is plain to you this morning. It's plain to you. Why? Because God has shown it to you. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since what? The creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So you are without excuse. I hear all the time, how can a loving, gracious God ever send anybody to hell? He doesn't. You choose it. You choose to be your own God. You refuse to look at the truth that is, go outside tonight and look at the stars that scream into you, intelligent design, that I am God. For, verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their own hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. And look at, and worshiped and served the creature, the creation, rather than the Creator who was blessed forever. Amen. You know that there's a God, that the heavens declare His glory. The only way that you can refuse that is to stiff arm the truth, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Please, please don't do that. But let me share with you, and I'm not going to finish, but go to 2 Corinthians. I never finish. I want to show you what's happening right now as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is what's going on. Spiritual warfare is going on right now. Let's begin with verse 4. In their case, you right here that are denying Christ as the Creator, you're denying, if He's Creator, that means He has authority. You're created. He has authority over you. And see, we've messed up. And so we're separated from God, but He still loves you, so He's coming after you, but you're not looking at creation. You don't want to see the truth this morning. And here's what's happening. In your case, the God of this world, who is Satan, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Why? To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. We just looked at this. Who is the image of God? We saw that in verse 15. For what we proclaim is not ourselves. That's what I'm doing right now. Hey, I'm not telling you to become a Baptist. I'm not telling you to become a member of Mount Zion Baptist Church. I'm not telling you to be baptized. What? Nothing. I don't want anything from you. I am here only to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, we proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, that's talking about the glorious glory of Jesus Christ, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so you have, listen, what you have, verse 4, you have the God of this world, Satan, who's trying to do everything right now to distract you, to keep you from looking at the truth, capital T-R-U-T-H, and that truth is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes by the Father except through Him. And so Satan's trying to blind you. He's trying to deceive you. He's trying to distract you. And then in verse 6, you have the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of Jesus Christ, that came to this world. And so you have Satan and you have God, and how you get to Jesus, you have men and women and boys and girls who have been saved, who preach one thing, not a religion. They're here to say, hey, I'm telling you, I want to preach Jesus and Him alone. Satan, God, and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so where are you this morning? Do you know this God who created everything? Not only that, He also holds it together. Now I have a whole bunch of other science stuff here. Pages and pages of it. It's all good. But not only does He create it, verse 16 says, 17 says, He holds it all together. He keeps it. Not only does He create it, do you realize that they say, scientists say, physicists say, nuclear scientists say, that the smallest element is an atom, right? And I'm going to mess this up. Proton, neutron, and then you have the electrons that are screaming around it, right? Am I there? Close. But this pulpit is made of atoms, right? And they say, nuclear scientists say, that these protons, that a proton that has this electricity, this positive energy, we know that there's a law out there, and I don't know what the law is called, but that those they detract from each other. It's like a magnet, right? You try to put it together, it goes apart. Are you with me? Just stay with just for a little bit. Well, here's the deal. We know, and they have an atom smasher now out in California, 4 miles long, where they can take these atoms, that all these atoms, these protons and neutrons, make up this, and we can smash that atom apart, which is a miracle in itself. But what they don't understand, what scientists don't understand, if protons and neutrons make this up, and they have electricity that repel each other, that this pulpit right now should be blowing up. But they say that there's something that holds everything together that shouldn't, because it defies law. Two protons, they blow up. And so right now you should be exploding. The whole world should be exploding. And scientists don't know how the protons, this atom, can make up these. How in the world can it stay together? Colossians 1:17. Jesus holds that together, defying nuclear physics. Can I tell you? 2 Peter says, one day, 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. And the heavenly bodies, the world that He created, Hebrews 1:2, will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. You know what's going to happen one day? According to how He created it, one day Jesus is going to let it all go. He's going to let it all go. It's all going to dissolve. It's all going to go away. We're talking about the end of days. We're talking about the end of times. When Jesus begins to judge the earth because you refused Him and rather worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. And He says, okay, the time is fulfilled. And now I'm going to take my hands off And it's all going to go away, and I'm going to come and take my bride, and I'm going to create a new earth and a new heaven. I'm going to hold that together for all of eternity. The question is this morning, do you believe that God is the Creator? If you believe He's the Creator, that means you're the creature and He has authority over your life. And His will today is for you to bow down to that authority and say, I recognize who you are and who I am not and what I need to be in Christ. I don't want Jesus to let go of me and I am destroyed for eternity. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Please don't go to hell. Father, I pray as way off what I was going to say today. But there is power, as we sang this morning, there is power in the name of Jesus. You are the God-man, and you are the Creator, and you are the Sustainer. And so, God, I pray that we would recognize that, that we would, as believers this morning, that we would be in awe of that. That when we sing Jesus, it's not a cliche. We know that all that encompasses, that as the Bible reveals that, as we've seen today, God, man, Creator, Sustainer, you holding it all together. And you're not just a God that cannot be sought after. You're not a God that we cannot have a relationship with. You came and become man to dwell among us. To imagine this God creating the galaxies wants to have a relationship with us. So much so that the gospel says He died to have it. He paid our penalty. He went to Calvary with His arms stretched wide. He said, it's finished. I pray this morning, if you're here without Christ, please. It's not an accident that you're here. It's by the providence. It's by the sovereignty. It's because God loves you and wants you to hear the truth. 2 Corinthians 4 through 6, Satan's trying to do all that he can right now. Hey, and yet you've had a glimpse of who Jesus is, and we have preached, God, be born again. We have preached, trust in the name of Jesus. Put your faith in Him. I say it just about every week, that the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12, to many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the authority to become a child of God. Won't you repent and trust the gospel? Just say yes to Jesus. I don't know all the theology. You don't need to know that. All you need to know is Jesus, God is holy and you're not, and you need His holiness, and Jesus wants to give it to you. And so, Father, I pray for us that are believers. God, help us to have the awe. Help us to have awe in You. Jesus. The name above all names. Wonderful Savior. Counselor. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe it's been a real long time that you've never told Jesus that, man, I love You, Jesus. And I know I can only say that because you You first loved us, and you gave yourself for us. And I just want to say, Jesus, I love you. I thank you for not only creating this earth and all how the beauty screams your creative power and your authority, but man, you've created the stars and this universe. And it's all on display for your glory. And so surely, we as people created in your image, all that we would worship well and give glory to your name, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.